Did you have any trick-or-treaters? Do you have any candy for me? How are you?
I am fine, but not one trick-or-treater, not one.
Not one?
Not one.
Well, you have to. Next year, I will haul my kids. My daughter won't be driving yet, but we'll come by next year. That'll get them. So the teenager wanted nothing to do with trick or treating, and then my little guy, who you saw broke his foot, he's out there hopping around the best he can do, trying to get dad all the candy possible. So big shout out to Mikey. Good job, Mikey.
Well, good for him. And you know, it's the kids that used to come here. That it was really my neighbor's grandchildren, and the whole family. So it was always so great because the families, the moms, the dads, the grandpa, they were all, and they would stand out there in the driveway, and the kids would come in. It was really sweet. But they're all growing up, you know. These little kids are no longer the little ones. And they had, some of them had already participated in some of the other places that they were going to. So my driveway is not as well lit as some areas, and we don't have sidewalks here. And I just think that a lot of parents would really rather their children be in areas where the houses are close together and it's well lit and with sidewalks. Makes sense to me.
And that's great for candy accumulation as well. So if you need me to take any of the candy off of your hands, Marty, let me know, and I will send a truck over to pick up whatever you need me to get rid of.
I'm going to put it in the freezer so that I won't eat it. I had some chocolate bars, those chocolate bars that you get at Aldi's are really good, and I love those. I'm sort of addicted to my dark chocolate, so I can stick those in the freezer, and nothing will be wasted.
Smart.
So sorry, I'm not sharing.
That's okay. I can live with that. I wouldn't share either. That's why I'm stealing Mikey's candy when he's at school. That's probably the safest way to get things started. All right, so the budget is passed. We're ready to go. Everything's taken care of. What did we get into last week? What did I miss, and what are we doing this week?
Well, you know, we passed the budget, but guess what? We don't even have all of our budget yet. I mean, we still don't have the numbers. I just hung up a few minutes ago from our county attorney. They are still working on the contracts for the jail and for the merit deputies, trying to get some things ironed out with them. They're getting very close to having that worked out. It appears not going to make a huge amount of difference in what it's going to cost, although there's some additional costs involved, of course. But the additional folks that the jail had wanted, having to do with, I think there was eight new positions, was not budgeted at all. And really, we haven't arrived at a conclusion as to how that's going to be handled. So that's going to be a huge expense, and that's not covered.
My silly question would be, how come that didn't get covered if that was such a big part of it?
Well, when the jail put their budgets together originally, or they were working on getting the budgets together, they were told that they would need job descriptions. David had to bring that through the Personnel Administration Committee and send that off and whatever. Then, so they didn't include it in the budget. Really, I wish it had just been left in the budget, and so we at least knew what we were going to have to be looking at. Even if they had to do estimates or something of the sort. It's part of this whole transitional team that they were talking about. But to begin with, it appears that there was discussion, well, we will just hire eight new jail officers, and some of the more seasoned ones would be chosen to be a part of the transitional team. We would use the same job description, but then they would receive additional pay for when they were working on the transitional portion. That is still sort of up in the air, how all of that's going to work out. And so I'll just be looking to see what kind of numbers that we're getting. Now, one of the things that I'd sent out a question mark about something else, some other changes that's being made where people are coming and saying, well, they want an additional appropriation, and they continue to ask for additional dollars yet this year. What we really hopefully are keeping track of is how much additional dollars is being approved as we go, because when we do that whole financial that we send off to the state saying this is where we are, and we had there's a line item in there that says here's a dollar amount that we believe our additional appropriations will be throughout the end of the year. Well, if we're adding on to that dollar amount routinely, we need to find out exactly how much we're adding on to it and keep track of that, so that we won't get this big surprise when we get back what's called a 1782s and so forth, because the state will have adjusted because we did some different things after we had passed all this. So we're actually, that whole 4B, that whole financial statement, that is always a work in progress. It is estimates that you put in place, and you use the end of June as a portion of some of it, and then you have to figure out what your estimate is for the next 6 months, for the rest of this year, and then you have to figure out what you believe all that's going to be and all your budgets and so forth is going to be for 2024. Well, and I understand there's adjustments that should be made having to do with any kind of emergencies, but we should have, and hopefully we will have in future, all of the salary stuff already figured out by the time we hit the votes. And for instance, the whole bond issue, because that was really, I think you and I had discussed this perhaps last time I was on with you, having to do with the bond issue, because
yes,
there's three different categories, and the bond issue is not something the state's going to come back and correct if we put in a higher amount than what we actually would end up voting on. We have clear to the end of the year to vote on a bond issue, and the state will correct whatever that levy is, even if we hadn't put in anything in there. However, if we don't throw in a dollar amount when we vote on the final numbers, then the state will not let us have an operating balance in with that bond issue. But that, because we knew that we were not going to do more than 3.1, or that's what we had all agreed to, I didn't want to support that because they had dollar amounts in there to support $4.1 million. And anything could have happened between then and the end of the year to have allowed it to go to 4.1, and the state would have said, well, you told the public that's what you're going to do, so we're not going to argue with you over that one. So those are some of the reasons, and I know it sounds like I'm getting in the weeds, but you know what? $1 million is a lot of money.
It's a ton of money.
And, and guess whose money it is? It's your money. So, yeah, those are some of the things that we're going to talk about. And we still have a lot on our plate now. Election Day, November 7th, but county government isn't shut down November 7th because it's a city election. Of course, the clerk's office is going to be busy with the elections, so forth. Now, one of the things the clerk went to the county commissioners today in the work session and was asking for different contracts and whatever, but they didn't. They're just now getting it to the commissioners, and decisions have to be made rather quickly. And the commissioners were saying, we should have had this information instead, you know, well in advance. Well, you know, and I get that. I say that a lot about a lot of things. But one of the things was they were going to pay extra money to have a postage machine here and a postage machine someplace else. And that's just crazy. It's all, if it's coming out of county general and it costs additional dollars to have all these additional postage machines, why have them in all different departments? Just set us up a place where everybody can do their postage at one place and save dollars.
The county post office.
Well, whatever they need to do. Now, so there was discussion about that and some pushback on going ahead with this, the documents that the clerk wanted, because if there's a way that we can save county dollars, hopefully they'll be able to, unless there's some real reason why they cannot save county dollars, let's find out. Let's find out and get this worked out for sure.
I would figure all that as well. The one question I get everywhere I go, where are we with the jail process? Is that something that now we have the election that's right around the corner? I know that's going to take some of the, again, not a county election, but still, the election's a deal. Eric Spoonmore told me on Monday that they are getting together after the election, the CIB, and start moving forward and getting their stuff together. I'm just trying to keep all these timelines moving along.
Right, and your first question was having to do with the jail location. And tomorrow there is a meeting that has to do with, it's called Community Conversation Wrap-Up, and it's going to be, I wrote this down, between 4:30 and 5:30, and on the agenda, which they just put together and sent out just a few minutes ago, because I kept saying, there's no information for an agenda. What is it going to be? And so it's going to be a conversation with the county council, the county commissioners, and the any members of the city that, you know, they've been invited to be a part of the conversation. And they're discussing the jail location. Now, they already have some of the reports. I talked to the county commissioner a while ago, and they already have some of these reports back that they've asked for environmental reports, et cetera, for the Thompson property. But then there will be a discussion about, is that the property that they want to stay with, or will perhaps they... You know, when I said, well, you know, you're going to have concerns no matter where you want to put this jail, people are going to say, oh, we don't want the jail next to us. And I get that, but it's got to go someplace. If we're going to have another jail.
Well, isn't the jail the safest?
That was my conversation with her. I said, I'm going to tell you right now, I'd much rather have the jail next door as this transitional housing that's being discussed.
That's an interesting point.
Because if they're locked up in jail, that's better than...
Here's my angle. I've worked downtown since 2002 in some capacity, and I've worked across the street from the jail, and I don't know. I'm not here at 3 o'clock in the jail is not where criminals want to be, Marty. Would that be an accurate description?
I don't think that's where they're hanging out.
I don't think they're really hanging on the street corner in front of the jail. It's more of a repellent than it is a honeypot. So it is interesting because I don't think it's a misconception. I just don't think we've thought it all the way through. Now, the interesting part about your environmental piece of this, we spend the money on the environmental, we get back an answer we don't like. Well, we've still spent the money on the environmental. That's just part of doing business?
Well, and yes, it looks like it.
I don't want to hear that we found a lot of. I don't want to hear we found a lot of limestone underneath there. That's what we're going to hear, isn't it?
Oh yeah, big surprise. Let me see. It was a limestone quarry. Let's see why we find limestone there. And when I said environmental, I'm just saying I know they've got some of the reports back, but they don't have all of them back, and
okay.
I don't want to get confused one with the other. However, the conversation that I was having with the commissioners, she brought up once again having to do with the property that we had looked at before there on Fullerton Pike, because I had said no matter where you put it, the neighbors will not be happy. And she said, well, but, you know, at Fullerton Pike, there wasn't a lot of nearby neighbors to have a concern. And I get that. However, as a county council member, my concern would be we already own the Thompson property. I wasn't in favor of getting it. I thought it would be expensive property to own, to try to build there, because we had agreed to put in infrastructure across 80 acres, which would have been, you know, astronomical, and just couldn't do that. We just should not.
Can you sell your downtown property? Can you sell the Thompson property? If that is that an option for any of this? I just want people to say, hey, you've got all this land laying around, or there's the Criderville, and we talk right. about all these 100 million pieces of property. It's hard to keep them straight. Could that be an option?
Well, and that was part of the conversation, was that, well, because I had said that if you go ahead with Fullerton, even if you could put that together and get the city to agree to it or whatever, that's, you know, millions to, I can't even remember how much that was now. Was that $10 million, $12
million? Somewhere in there, yes.
About? Yeah, whatever. Because she said, well, we could sell the Thompson property. Well, suddenly, maybe it's worth more money than what it was before, but look how long we've had that and haven't been able to get rid of it, so I don't know what we could sell it for. But that would be a-okay by me, whatever they could figure out to do. Other people have said, well, look how much we could sell the Justice Building for. You know, I don't know. Somebody put all that together. I have no idea what it would cost to tear down that building and try to put it on the market. I don't know. I'm sure other people are giving that some thought. We're not supposed to be in the real estate business. I think we have a lot of real estate. I'm not sure we've been wise purchasers, but then that's up to others.
Well, you know the old theory, though. You know, land's not going to go bad in a downtown area. It's just not.
Right. So, but we now have two stone quarters. So, whichever. Pick.
One for each
pick
hand.
One.
One for each hand.
Okay. So, anyway, so all of that has been discussed. So, now we're just moving forward with what we have to work with. And one of the questions I had asked the county attorney is, where are we on making sure that we're solvent, having to do with paying back the bonds for the whole, like where the Hunter Valley is and all the other different bonds that were going in place? Because I know one of the financial statements I saw that the 4Bs, that looked like it might be somewhat short in order to pay that back, but indeed that the dollars have not been spent out as quickly as one would have thought they would have been. So it looked as if that's still okay on those dollars. So in the meantime, we just have to keep moving forward and trying to get making sure that every department who knows that they've got to have an additional appropriation, they need to look hard at their existing budgets, their existing line items, and try to move around the dollars the best they can before they ask for an additional appropriation. Because I know that when they were looking at what they thought they could spend on all of these raises, they were counting on so much of this money not being spent, and it would all be like reversions and would get our dollar amount higher that we're carrying forward to the next year. And if people are spending it down by the thousands, that money won't be there. And in my opinion, we were already short. And so I don't think I've spoke with you since the budget adoption. I did not vote in favor of that budget because I could not see that it appeared that it was sustainable. Maybe we could keep up with it for a couple of years, but after that, after we'd spent down all of our pots of money here, there, and yon, then there's not the money to continue on with that, to sustain the budget where we took it to. And that's just not in something it's not something I could support. So I just couldn't do it, and I didn't.
So is that the definition of kicking the can down the road?
Well, yes, but that can just gets heavier and heavier.
It's going to hurt your foot the more you kick it.
Because
no one's going to come in and say, okay, we have too many jobs here. We need to trim this. What I'm trying to make the listener understand is, when that money runs out, then they go back to the listener and get more money.
Right. Right. You know, if it's you in your household and you have spent, and you decide to go out and buy a hash can for it because you think, oh, well, you know, I've got enough money to pay for it. You know, I'll make this work for a couple of years, and after that, I don't know what. Well, then don't complain if you have to move in a couple of years because you...
Well, yeah, at least you can sell your house.
Right, and not only that, what lending company is going to loan you money for just 2 years unless they want that house back in their name? So it makes no sense to me, but... those that are working on that, maybe they just figure in a couple of years we'll have additional dollars from some way. Now, we know that that court date has been set, the court hearing date has been set for the annexation for 1A and 1B. I don't know whether that's been in the paper yet or not, but I did get a message from Rita Burrell. It's toward the end of April. I don't have that date exactly in front of me. I could look it up real quick. But and so that's when the court hearing will be, and we'll see where we go with 1A and 1B. But that is the biggest amount of the population that was to be annexed. And so if this decision isn't going to be made or start to be made, getting closer to a decision in April, will the city then say maybe between now and April, well, we won't go forward with this? Maybe they understand how that's going to hurt the county. On the other hand, if you're representing the city, you may say, well, you know, I just have to represent the city. So, but anyway, that is, by the way, it is April 29th at 9 a.m. is that court date.
Gotcha. We'll have plenty of time to get reminded of that.
Yeah,
so
right.
Figure out
but,
all those.
But I know that.
Oh, I know you had it right.
Concerned that maybe it would be yet this year.
Nope.
So that'll give us some time. But at that point in time, then a whole lot of adjustments might have to be made. So,
well, we'll. I'm glad you're here every Wednesday, except last week when I was out of pocket. Next Wednesday, we will know the results of the referendum and all of the local races as well, plus all the things going on in county government. And before you know it, we'll be talking about Thanksgiving pies and fun things like that. Welcome to November, Marty Hawk.
Oh, and I love November because, you know, my daughter's birthday is in November.
Mine, too, and my son and
in
yours.
November.
Yeah. You know what my birthday is this year? Do you know when my birthday is this year?
Well, tell me.
Oh, it's the same day every year, right? So that's the joke. If I say, you know, when is my birthday this year? Thanks.
Same day.
Right, but Thanksgiving. It falls on Thanksgiving this year.
Well, good for you.
Not at all. I get lost. No one cares. Everybody cares about turkey.
I get it.
I'm an afterthought.
You know how many years I didn't get a birthday cake? I don't get birthday cakes. Who's going to... A birthday
pumpkin
cake
pie,
for somebody is
pie.
Thanksgiving. Why would I go out and do a cake?
Yep, my grandmother's birthday is a week before mine, and I've got some scar tissue there, but I'll eat my way through it. I usually do, and we'll get caught up next Wednesday when it's going to be warmer, I hope. Stay warm, eat that chocolate, and I'll get caught up with you next week.
Right. We can still have Indian summer. And for all the people say I can't say Indian summer, I'm going to say it as many times as I can.
Oh, I say Indian summer.
Indian summer.
Indian summer. They came up with it, so I'll credit my sources there. Great job, Marty. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.